Welcome to the Life and Legacy Show, where we discuss all things elder law, estate, and legacy planning. Hosted by certified elder law attorney Tim Seckler from the Seckler Law Firm. And now your host, attorney Tim Seckler.
And welcome to this week's edition of the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by the Seckler Law Firm. That is my law firm, located in Mars, Pennsylvania. My name is Tim Seckler. I'm your host for this radio show, and on this show, I get to explain to you some legal technical concepts that I enjoy discussing. I like to educate people on these issues because I like to see people make good plans. And so if you haven't listened to the show before, sometimes the show does some sort of public interest stories. Sometimes we do current events. Sometimes we do some legal technical things. And today's episode is going to be about some legal technical estate planning concepts that I think people get wrong. So my goal in doing this is to help you plan well for your family, to help you understand your different planning options and what makes a good estate plan for your family. Before we do this, a little disclaimer, you know, I am a lawyer, by the way. You should not make legal technical decisions on the best interests of your family based on what you hear on this or any other radio show or any other person who puts information out there in public. You need to work with a lawyer to understand what your best estate planning options are. I talk about tools like wills and trust all the time, but the fact is that I can't make a recommendation on what you want to do until you have given me the facts about your goals and your finances and your family and what you want to accomplish. At that point in time, yeah, we can make some recommendations. Be careful if I'm talking about something that's legal and technical in nature to draw a conclusion that it applies to you. Perhaps it doesn't. But what we're talking about today in the show is that most people are wrong. And what I mean by that is, I hear these phrases from time to time, and I hear it from financial advisors, and I hear it from accountants, and I hear it from my clients, and I hear it from people. You know, most people don't do that, or they'll ask me, well, in my situation, what would most people do? And, you know, that's an interesting question. I think where the question comes from is people don't want to be wrong, and so they feel like the majority is probably right. So asking the questions, what do most people do? Hey, at least I won't be judged by being in the minority on this decision, and I can go on living my life knowing that I'm going along with the crowd, regardless of whether, you know, the crowd has my best interest in mind. And so I've got a couple of things just to take note. And you know, before we start tracking what most people do and whether you should do it the same way, understand that when it comes to the estate planning business, writing wills and trusts for people, writing estate plans, you have to first understand most people don't even have a will, right? Most people do nothing. Most adults don't have any estate plan. And so right now we can already say, well, you know, and I guess that is people don't want to deal with it. People don't want to think about it. No, talking about death and dying isn't fun. Yes, it's uncomfortable. But, you know, the fact of the matter is we're all going to die at some point in time. We're all going to get sick at some point in time. And when those events happen, at least we can have our family well protected and we can have some good plans in place. And so, most people are wrong because most people don't do any estate planning, and that leaves their family set up for success or for failure when just taking the time and planning a little bit really could have done some work and moved the family better. So most people think Medicare covers long-term care expenses. This was came out of an AARP study not too long ago, and most adults think that if they end up in a nursing home, their Medicare coverage, if they're over 65 and on Medicare, that their Medicare coverage is going to cover the nursing home. And that's just simply not true. Medicare doesn't pay for long-term custodial care. Medicare will pay for a short-term rehab stay in a nursing home. But if you need to stay in the nursing home for a couple of years because of a stroke or dementia or whatever later, which, by the way, is completely outside of your control, Medicare doesn't pay for that. So be careful relying on the conventional wisdom that all your friends are following that says we don't need to plan for that issue because most people think Medicare is going to cover it, and most people are wrong. Medicare doesn't cover it. And so, you know, here's a couple of just thoughts here is we need to do some estate planning, right? Now, people that do estate planning, most of the time, people will do an estate plan that answers the question, who gets the money when I pass away? you know, that's sort of the traditional concept of what we think a will does, or a lot of people rely on beneficiary designations on their accounts. But when you do a will, a properly drafted will doesn't just answer the question, who gets it when we pass away? A properly drafted estate plan is also going to answer a couple of other questions, depending on your goals, right? And so this is part of the goal-setting process. But it seems to me that I have many clients that have more goals than just answering the question, what happens when we pass away? And for example, something you may want to consider is, well, yeah, what happens if I do get sick before I pass away? What happens if I go to a nursing home? A nursing home is $130,000 a year in Pennsylvania. And aren't there some things I should maybe do to protect myself from those issues? So that's something that we could do. But, a traditional will-based plan isn't going to help you with. Here's a couple of other things. A will, yeah, it answers who gets it. But what happens if the person who gets it dies before you? A will answer that question. But what happens if the person inheriting the money is young? I recently was involved in a estate out of Pittsburgh where there was money being left to a minor grandchild. Well, there's restrictions on leaving money to minor children and who can be in charge of the money and what kind of an account the court will allow the money to be held in, because there's been this rash over the last couple of decades of parents who are in charge of their money, their kids' inheritance. You know, a parent of a youngster that gets an inheritance to mom or dad, if we just put them in control, the money's gone by the time the kid is 18. And the courts got tired of it. So the courts are doing these sequestered accounts and different things that restrict significantly the access to the kids' money when they're in their minor years, which is not what mom and dad had in mind or what grandma had in mind when they left Junior in the will. And so we can plan around that. You can do some different things to plan for it, but one of the things that we can do in an estate plan is plan for what happens if somebody that's a minor inherits money. Another what if that I suggest you consider planning for is what happens if my family or whoever I'm leaving the money to, what happens if one of the people I'm leaving the money to is disabled at the time I pass away? You know, disabled people tend to ask the government for help. I have family members of my own that are disabled and they're receiving public benefits, Medicaid benefits, SSI benefits. Well, if they receive an inheritance and now that pushes them over the asset or the income threshold for eligibility for those programs, they just lost their free health care because a well-meaning parent or grandparent was trying to leave the disabled youngster some money. So we got to be careful. Now, what a will can do to answer this question, a will can say, in the event any of my family members are disabled at the time that I pass away and on public benefits, then we can hold their money in what's called a special needs trust. That special needs trust will allow the money to be accessed for the disabled person over the term of their disability or for their life, but not disrupt the access to the public benefits that they need for housing and medical expenses and some walking around money. And so we can use an estate plan like a will or a trust. We can use these documents to answer these contingency questions. What if somebody's young? What if somebody is disabled? What happens if my kid receives an inheritance and then gets a divorce a few years later? Did I work my whole life to leave these dollars to my kid, and my kid has a poor marital decision and there goes my life's work? Is that something we want to leave ourselves exposed to? Because, you know, marriage rates, let me put it this way, divorce rates exceed happiness when it comes to marriage. And so if more than 50% of marriages are ending in divorce these days, then really do we want to expose our dollars to the risk that our kids may be in that category? But most people don't plan for this stuff. Most people do planning just to make sure that the kids' names are on the thing or whatever. But then whatever the kid has going on at that point in time when you pass away, which unless, you know, you have a terminal diagnosis or something, we don't really know when that's going to occur. Are we really willing to gamble our life's work that those issues aren't going to pop up when you pass away, and then we're going to lose your life's savings, your nest egg, to some issue that your kid has at some unknown date in the future? So, you know, if what I'm talking about on the radio show today has, you know, has you asking questions like, what do I know or what do I need to know or what else do I need to know about this estate planning? My law firm, we put out all kinds of content. You should check it out. So go to SecklerLawFirm.com. My name's Tim Seckler, if you joined us late, SecklerLawFirm.com. It's spelled S-E-C-H-L-E-R, lawfirm.com. And on the website, you're going to find lots of information. I think there are dozens of helpful articles that you can cruise. There's also a section called the Workshops tab. So you can find the Workshops tab. And there you can schedule for one of our upcoming in-person seminars. We have a couple of them on the calendar every month. Or you can attend one of our virtual webinars. It's a live webinar that I host that you can sign up for, and you can ask questions. We do it over Zoom. It's super easy. But we're going to talk about some of these issues. We're going to talk about how you plan for these contingency issues. What happens if somebody's disabled or underage? We're going to talk about protection of assets from long-term care expense. Because these are the things, guys, these are the things that really result in families getting blown up. It's not who gets it. Yeah, sometimes people screw up the who gets it question. But far more frequently, what screws up an estate plan is not who gets it. It's what happens when that person gets it, if they've got something going on in their lives. And here's another thing that most people do, and in my opinion, most people should are either getting wrong or should at least think through it a little bit more. And that is, most people rely heavily on beneficiary designations, right? So think about your life insurance, your retirement accounts, maybe an investment account you have. A lot of folks will go ahead and throw beneficiary designations on those accounts. So just give it to the kids in equal shares. And so now in doing that, that sidesteps your estate planning documents. Because when you put a beneficiary designation on your investment account, then your will or your trust no longer governs the disposition of those dollars. You now have a contract with a financial institution, and they're going to distribute the dollars when you pass away. So if we've done this fantastic will, let's say I wrote you the world's best will. Okay, let's just say I wrote you the world's best will. And it's got every option, and it's got disability planning, and it's got remarriage planning, and it's got what if my kid gets a divorce planning, and it's got underage planning, and it's got all of this just in case world throws us a curveball, we've got an answer to that question. And if I throw all of that stuff in there, And it's got power windows and all of it, right? It's a really nice will. What happens if you send all your money via beneficiary designation? It sidesteps the will. All of that helpful planning you just did is for nothing on those dollars. And if your kid is going to have that divorce, or if your kid's going to have that disability, and you named your kid as an outright beneficiary designation on your financial accounts, you just threw the money back at that issue that we had taken care of to avoid. So be careful in relying heavily on beneficiary designations on your financial accounts, because in doing so, you don't get to plan for the contingencies. And this is really where and why a lot of the time we have a conversation with our clients around trusts. A lot of the times, trust, like a revocable living trust, and there's other episodes you can look up or you can find on my website that talks about what a revocable living trust is. But the long and the short is, you create a trust, you put your assets into this entity, you have access to the money for the rest of your life, you've got control of the money for the rest of your life, but when you pass away, it is the trust that allows the dollars to be transferred to your kids. It's not the will. The trust says what the will would have said, right? So the trust will say, give it to my kids in equal shares or whatever your intentions are. But here's the big difference. Trusts don't go through the courthouse. Only wills go through probate, right? So people will talk about avoiding probate. But if you use a will, wills don't avoid probate. Wills are your admission ticket to probate court. So if you want to avoid probate, so there's this conversation that says we should avoid probate because of time and expense and headache. And, you know, sometimes probate's really not all that difficult in Pennsylvania. But here's what I know about it. What I know is people that rely on wills as the primary estate planning document tend to put beneficiary designations on their financial accounts because they want to avoid probate and the time and the headache and the expense. So they've got this expertly drafted will that does all this bells and whistles just in case planning. But then some financial person or their neighbor over the fence or whatever says, well, you should just put beneficiary designations on your account because that way it'll get to the kids easy and simple and fast, and you don't have to go through any administration process. And that's true. But it's only really a good idea if we all live in Mayberry and there's nothing else that could be going wrong in our kids' lives, and our kids aren't having gambling issues or drinking issues, and our kids aren't in the middle of marital problems, and our kids aren't disabled or about to be, or our kids, you know, you can go on and on with this thing. But my the biggest challenge, I think, with people that have some net worth and decide to use wills as an estate plan is not necessarily that probate avoidance is the key. It's that I know they're going to take steps to avoid probate using beneficiary designations in the first place. And if they're going to do that, then they just sidestepped all of the helpful planning. So if you're going to do the probate avoidance planning, my suggestion to you is we do the revocable living trust, because you get to avoid the probate. You get to avoid some of the headache of going to the courthouse. Not all of it. There's still a trust administration. But we at least get to do the contingency planning to help your families out. And that to me is solid planning. So be careful following what most people do. Be careful following what your neighbors do, because your neighbors don't know anything about this stuff. So be careful about following what your coworkers do, because they don't know anything about this stuff. And they might just lead you into making the same mistakes that most people make. All right, good enough. Now, let's go back to the nursing home issue. Most people don't do any planning for long-term care expense. Most people think Medicare pays for the nursing home if you're going to need it. Most people don't buy long-term care insurance. Most people, you know how many people will tell me over the course of my career, I'm never going to a nursing home. You know, these tough guys, these old tough guys. And I'm sure there are older tough guys that are listening to the radio show right now and tough ladies saying, oh, I'm never going to the nursing home. Well, you know what? I understand the sentiment. I do. I understand that you don't want to go to a nursing home. But nursing homes are filled with people that were never going to nursing homes. And the fact of the matter is, as we age, a lot of the healthcare issues we're going to eventually have are completely outside of our control. I can't prevent if I have a stroke down the road. I can't prevent Parkinson's disease. I can't prevent dementia. One in three of us are going to have dementia, according to the Alzheimer's Association. And yeah, there's a lot of research going on right now, and there are things you could do. You can exercise, you can eat well, you can whatever. But I kind of feel like right now, barring the magic pill that I hope somebody puts out one day, that if I'm on the Alzheimer's train, I can't get off of the Alzheimer's train, right? I'm going to get it. And a lot of my family has had the dementia, and I don't like my odds. And so if I'm going to get sick, there are certain healthcare issues that are going to result in our need for custodial long-term care. It's out of our hands. There's just certain things that result in that situation that our family can't do, or that it's extremely intrusive to ask our family to do. You know, I'm still a young fella, I guess. When I'm in my 80s, if I need long-term care, I don't want my daughter, personally, this is just my personal preference, I don't want my daughter having to rearrange her life and risk her marriage and risk her career to take care of me. So I'm acknowledging the fact that I might need some custodial long-term care. But I also don't want to go broke in the process, right? I don't know why we have a system in this country that makes you go broke. I've got some guesses. But we've got a system in this country that makes you go broke if you need the nursing home. All right, nursing homes, skilled nursing facilities in this state cost $130,000 a year. And there's not a lot of families who can afford that for very long. And if you're listening to this and you're saying, I can't afford $130,000 a year for very long, you know, the biggest concern is, what happens if I stroke out? What happens if I get sick in my 50s? I've had nursing home clients in their 50s. What happens if I get sick in my 50s? That's not too far down the road for me. And my wife be in her 50s. What if I had a traumatic brain injury and ended up in a nursing home as a result of a car accident? And now this nursing home is going to come after me for $130,000 a year. Now, it's not their fault. They're providing $130,000 worth of valuable services to me. The problem is we have a government system that won't pay for it. If the government would just pay for it, if Medicare would just pay for it, then, you know, I'd be doing something else for a living. But they don't. And people are going broke. And you can't leave your spouse, my opinion, you can't leave your spouse exposed to this screwed up system that requires you to go broke if you have dementia or Alzheimer's disease, because a lot of us are going to get there. a lot of us are going to get there. And so the problem that you are confronted with here is, now that you know this, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to do what most people do? Are you going to do a will? Which most people don't do. But most people that do estate planning are going to do a will. But wills don't do anything to protect your family from long-term care expenses. Are you going to transfer assets to your kids? That's what some people do. Generally speaking, it's a mistake, in my opinion. You're going to make a capital gains tax mistake. And the biggest thing you're going to do is you're going to give up control of your assets. And you don't have to give up control of your assets to protect them from long-term care expenses. You might have to give up some elements of control, but you don't need to put it in your kid's name. If I put my house in my kid's name and then my kid goes to a divorce, where am I living? If I put my house in my kid's name and my kid dies before me, what's her will say? Everything to her husband. Now I'm living in a house owned by my former son-in-law. What happens when he remarries? What's his new wife think? Right? To me, it's really risky stuff, giving up control of your hard-earned assets, at least to that extent. Right. So there's this great tool that's called an asset protection trust, and we use it to protect assets from long-term care expenses while maintaining some element of control. You do have to give up some access. But a lot of folks have some net worth, like their home equity, that they're probably going to pass away owning. Most of my clients aren't going to access the home equity. They're not going to take a reverse mortgage. They're not going to pull the money out of the house to live on it. They're going to pass away owning that house, or at least their plan is to pass away owning that house or some other house. And if the house is worth a couple of $100,000, why leave it exposed to the nursing home if I go to the nursing home on the way out? Because they will come after your house. And so, in my opinion, an effective estate plan for seniors and retirees and baby boomers or wherever you want to self-identify, if you're worried about this stuff, you ought to learn more about an asset protection trust. And if you want to learn more about it, you need to come to one of my workshops. So go to SechlerLawFirm.com, SechlerLawFirm.com, and go to the workshops tab. And there you can register for a couple of things. You can come to one of our in-person workshops that are coming up this month and every other month. I love doing them. We have a lot of fun. As far as talking about death and dying and getting sick can be, I try to make it pretty entertaining. And so come to the workshop. We're going to talk about all of these things. I'm going to give you some options. I'm going to explain to you how you can protect yourself and how you can protect your family and your kids and your house and your spouse. And then we offer you a free consultation to meet with me or one of the other lawyers. At the free consultation, we talk to you about your specific fact pattern. You know, what are your goals? Is asset protection even a concern of yours? Are you more concerned about planning for a disabled grandchild? Are you more concerned about getting it all to your place of worship? What is it that you want to do? Once we understand what you want to do, then we can talk about wills and trusts and beneficiary designations and charitable planning and life insurance planning and tax planning and these different issues, one of which may just happen to be protection of assets from nursing homes. At that initial consult, we talked to you about our flat fee pricing. Now, one of the things, I don't talk a whole lot about pricing on my show, but my one pledge is, on estate planning work, we try real hard to get to 99% of the time we're quoting a flat fee. And so you know at the initial consultation what your options are and what the thing costs, and then you can make your decisions from there. So that's a little bit about how we operate, but I really think you ought to check out one of our upcoming live workshops. And if you live a little bit farther away, we do these in the North Hills. Let's say you're in the South Hills. Let's say you're a little farther out, and you want to know and you want to know the information, you should come to our monthly webinar. So I do a webinar over Zoom. It's free. Same offer. You can have a free consult with me or one of my other lawyers here in the office after the webinar. And learn all about this stuff. During the workshop, we talk about wills, we talk about trust, we talk about trust-based distribution to protect our kids from their divorces, we talk about nursing home asset protection, we talk about a number of different things that can help you and your family protect assets from long-term care or save money on taxes or avoid probate or whatever your goals happen to be. If you do happen to have somebody in a nursing home, and this whole nursing home part of this conversation has been relevant to you, just give us a call. And in those situations, we typically will just offer you a free consultation and get you into the office and figure out if we can help you. And if we can't help you, we'll get you to somebody who can help you. But those consultations are free as well. So if you have somebody in a nursing home, you want to know if we can help you protect some money or protect the house, just give us a shout. The phone number is 724-841-1393, or you can find out more at SecklerLawFirm.com. Real quick before we go, I'm going to do my disclaimer one more time. I talked a lot about some different estate planning options during this show. All right, this show is for information, education, and hopefully a little bit of entertainment, as much as you can make this stuff entertaining. I encourage you, please do not make decisions based on anything I said in this show or any other show. Your specific fact pattern is yours, and we need to analyze it in light of what you would actually like to accomplish. Then we can talk to you about what an effective estate plan will be. So find out more at SecklerLawFirm.com. That's SecklerLawFirm.com. Or give me a call at 724-841-1393. And have a great week.
This has been the Life and Legacy Show, sponsored by the Seckler Law Firm, where great families make great plans. SecklerLawFirm.com or call 724-841-1393.